Good morning, church. Hey, again, my name is Pastor Jeremy. I serve as the lead pastor here. I am so glad that you guys took an hour and a half or so out of your time this morning to hang out when there's so many things that you guys could be doing right now. And, you know, I'm just going to jump right in and just say, you know, this isn't going to be that typical kind of Father's Day message where we're going to, like, lift you up a little bit, tap you on the back, say good job, give you a dad's root beer on the way out, and you're good to go. Because you know me already, right? Doesn't work like that. We want to be challenged. We want to be inspired, do we not? Do we not? Sometimes we get into the grind of things and we start doing these things and it's like, man, am I making a difference in anybody's life or am I just existing? I feel that way sometimes. And so today, I want something to be awakened in us. I want something to come alive inside of us that I want a sleeping heart to thrive again, to awaken. Men, this message is for you, but ladies, don't worry, I got you back. I got you too. Fixing my little notes here. I know you didn't just come to watch Pastor Jeremy, because last Mother's Day, right, I talked to everybody. And I want to continue that thought process of what legacy might be. Today I want to awaken the wild inside of us. I want a legacy of a father's heart. And I'm not talking, because we've got this legacy that doesn't stir up inside of us. It actually comes from heaven down to us. God has created us this certain way to have this fire and this passion, this desire. So I need everybody right now to say, wake up! Wow, I didn't even have to have you repeat it. That was awesome. Everybody's awake. There is more coffee if you need it. You won't bother me if you need some. I need to tell you something real quick about my father. My dad wasn't perfect. Honestly, I don't know of any father that is perfect. I know I'm not perfect, but this one up here is. He loves me and all my messy stuff. And my parents are still together. They just celebrated 45 years of marriage. Praise God. And you know my story, and so I'm not going to get into the context of all that stuff, but what a miracle in itself. What a miracle. But I remember back when I was about 7 years old, it was winter because I'm from Illinois, and it probably snowed about 2 feet that night. And we knew it, and I was like, I'm 7 years old. And we had a snowmobile. Some people from Alaska call them snow machines. We call them snowmobiles. And so, I know he's going to take me out. It's snowing. All this great stuff. And so we get up in the morning and we go on the snowmobile. We're bundled up. Blanket of white snow. Untouched snow. Beautiful. That's the best time to look at it. When it's just perfect. And we lived in a rural community smaller than this one where there was fields and trees and all this beautiful scenery. And we get going and about 30 minutes later, he pulls over. He's like, you want to ride? You want to drive it? I went. You got to understand, at 7 years old, I wasn't scared of anything. I was one of those kids. Like, I was jumping off the garage with, like, a sheet, like it was a parachute, you know? And when that wasn't enough, there was, like, a drop-off on this side of it. So when this side, I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. I can do that. Go to the other side, there's flat, and then there's a drop-off and another drop-off. Yep, I did it. I wasn't scared. I was not a fearful child. Anyway, I got on it. I took off. I got comfortable with the controls. And I got comfortable with the controls. And I was feeling the power underneath me. Man, I was in heaven. Whew. Loved it. And then suddenly, I'm driving around. We're going down the road. And next thing you know, I felt the presence of my dad fall off the snowmobile. And I was thinking, oh, no. What did I just do? My awesome, amazing 7-year-old capabilities of driving a snowmobile threw my dad off the snowmobile. And I freaked out and I turned around and looked, and he's going, keep going. He didn't fall off. He jumped off so that I could drive the snowmobile by myself. And man, I tell you what, then I was truly free. I'm cruising around the field. I'm talking huge field, the trees and all that stuff. Snow's flying everywhere. Man, I'm telling you, that was like heaven to me as a 7-year-old. All the while, my dad's standing there watching me just experience this. And he started to wave me back. There's one problem. I couldn't find the brake. This is the first time I'm riding it. So I start to panic. I'm heading back. Finally came to a stop with the help of a bush. And I fall off this thing. And my dad comes running over. And I was terrified. I was crying. Again, I'm 7 years old. Started crying. I was expecting anger, like I had broken his snowmobile, all these things. And you know, and he comes running up and he's laughing at me. He's laughing at me. He pulled me close and he said, son, sometimes we're gonna wreck. We're gonna wreck, but you gotta get back up and keep trying. You know that's what shame does? Shame makes you wanna hide. It makes you wanna disappear. It makes you wanna stay down. But instead of disappointment, there was a fire in my dad's eye, a love in his heart. And he taught me that falling down is not failure. Some of you might need to hear that today. You might have done something in your past years ago, and you're still stuck in it. Falling down is not failure. He showed me that being present for somebody means meeting them in their mistakes, in their fears, with courage and strength. That's the kind of father I've tried to be, and I've failed without God. I still fail with God. I'm transparent. But I do try to be present. I try to be there when my kids need me. My kids know if they need me, I'm a phone call away. I will do whatever I can to help them. Today, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do something in our hearts. In every person's heart in this room. Because it's time to stop apologizing for who God made us to be. It's time to stop apologizing for the way God made us. I need you to turn to somebody right now and look at this and say, it's time to wake up. Tell the person to your other side, it's time to wake up. The design. You were made for this. Here's my first point. The design. You were made for this. Our Bibles, open your Bibles in Genesis 1. Go ahead and grab them out. You know, and when you find Genesis 1, verse 26, say, I got it. I need you guys' participation today.
Got it?
Man, you guys are quick. If you need a Bible, there's one under your seat bag. Anyway, so let me go. It says, in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, it says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all of the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in numbers, fill the earth and subdue it. Now hold up. We need to understand one thing right here. Did you catch what just happened in verse 26? It says, God said, let us Make mankind in our image. That is the Trinity at the very first chapter of Genesis. Do you get it? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is in divine consultation about the man you're supposed to be. They were already talking about you right here in this moment. And then, this is so good. It says, tell us to subdue. To subdue the earth. You know what that subdue means? It means that we are to bring it under control. It means to dominate. It means to take charge. You hear me, men? It's time to take charge. Sorry, this is my bullet point. I can't mess this up. Men, God didn't make you to be passive. He didn't design you to sit on the sideline of your own life. He made you to dominate, to subdue, to take charge, but in the right way. There's this guy named John Eldridge. When I sat in jail for my addictions and all the stuff that I had been through, I sat in jail. I was on suicide watch, wanted to take my own life, and I was sitting there in this room, and I wanted a book to read, and they would have gave me a Bible. I'd been like, nope, don't want it. That ain't for me. But instead, God used that CO to give me a book by John Eldridge, which is called Wild at Heart. And God used that book. It's about being the man that God created me to be. And that's the book that God used to get me into the Bible. Every man has, and in his book it says, every man has three deep desires. A battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. The world would say this might be a little bit of a toxic masculinity. I believe this is holy design. This is how God created us to be. Think about it when you were a little boy. Man, you'd be like cops and robbers and the cowboy. You know, you were like, you needed to be like a man, right? You wanted to be a police officer, a firefighter. You wanted to save lives. You wanted to do these kind of things. You wanted to rescue things. You wanted to fix and help. And does that make sense? That's what this book is about, being the man that God created you to be. But and I give my life to Jesus and all this cool stuff. Now, my wife, she's there, and we find, and I'm talking about this John Eldridge guy. She's like, oh, there's another book. It's called Killing Lions. And she orders it for me, and she gets it sent into the jail, and I start reading this book. And it's about a young man coming into his manhood, and what he's doing. And in Africa, in this tribe, before the boy could become a man, he had to kill a lion. And so this whole story takes place and all this. But anyway, John Eldridge is telling his son Sam, his name is Sam Eldridge, discovered when he wrote Killing Lions together. They realized that every generation, here's what it's in the book, says every generation of men faces different lions, different challenges, different fears, different battles. Sam, in the book, his son, was facing the lions of his generation. Uncertainty about the future, pressure to succeed, questions about relationships, wondering if he had what it took to be a man. And you know what John told his son? He said, the lions you're facing aren't the same lions that I faced. But the heart of a man, that doesn't change. God put something in you that wants to fight, that wants to protect, that wants to provide. Don't let the world convince you that those desires are wrong. Ladies, are you hearing this?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Your turn. The men in your life, whether they're your brothers, your friends, your coworkers, your sons that you're raising, your daughters, they're not broken because they want to do and fight for something. You hear? Does that make sense? Like when you see a boy, a little boy jumping up doing wrestling moves and stuff, you know? Leg drop. It's normal. God created them to be like that. They're not broken because they want to fight for something. They're designed that way. Your job isn't to tame that spirit. It's to champion it and point it in the right direction. Speak into it. Fill it. Guide it. Give them what they need. Don't quench that spirit. Think about the lion for a minute. The book's called Killing Lions. The lion doesn't need to ask or apologize for his roar. When a lion roars, he doesn't have to apologize for that. When a lion doesn't have to ask permission to protect the pride. When danger comes, the lion has to rise up. Men of God, you are lions. You are lions. You ruined it. And it's time to stop whispering. Because God made you to roar. Women of God, you are lionesses. You fight alongside the pride and protect the pride. You raise the cubs to be strong. This isn't just about men. It's about all of us understanding our divine design. Come on now. Somebody go, rrr. Yeah. Those of you online, I wish you could be watching. Part two, the battle, the enemy. Hear this, the enemy wants you to be sleeping. He doesn't want you roaring like a lion. He wants you sleeping. First, so here's what the enemy knows that maybe you don't know. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything in love. Let me tell you what Satan's strategy is here. He doesn't have to destroy you. He just needs to make you passive. Sit back and be like, yeah, it's not my problem. Yeah. If he can get you to retreat from your calling, stay quiet when you should be speaking up, coast through life when you should be taking charge, he wins. That's why too many men in the church today are alive, but they are not awake. They're breathing, but they're not believing. They're surviving, but they're not thriving. And ladies, oh ladies, the devil's been busy with you too. The enemy is terrified of what happens when godly women stop apologizing for their strength and start wielding it for the kingdom. He knows that behind every great move of God in a man, there is always a woman who said yes to their calling. We talked about Timothy on Mother's Day. He was raised by his grandmother and his mother. And now we're talking about one of the greatest pastors, one of the greatest pastors that made it into the Bible. Dude was pretty good. Raised by women. Because they said yes to their calling. Ladies, you know what happens when the lions decide to hunt? When a lioness decides to hunt? The whole pride eats. You know what happens when a woman decides to step into her God-given strength? The kingdom advances. Which kingdom are you building? In the book, The Killing Lions, John Eldridge tells his son something powerful. He says, the world is going to try to make you ashamed of your strength. They're going to tell you that being a man means being less than what God made you to be. But Sam, the world needs you to be fully alive as a man. The world doesn't need more nice guys. The world needs dangerous men made good in the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's what the world needs. Men filled with the Holy Spirit, not ashamed of the way that God had made them to be. Men who will fight for their families. Men who will pray for their children. Men who will walk in integrity when nobody else is watching. Oh yes, and the world needs strong women too, who will stand and champion, be a champion of righteousness. Women who will mentor, encourage, believe in others. Women who will influence the next generation, whether through biological children, adopted children. It doesn't matter if they're spiritual students or spiritual co-workers or anyone in your sphere of influence. Women, be strong and speak life into these people. If you don't have children yourself, or if your children are gone or living their own lives, your influence. Think about it. You ever watched a football game where the one team, the first half of the football game, and the team is just getting smoked? And what happens is they start, they're just like, you know what? We're getting whooped. We're not doing well. And so what has happened, their shoulders are down. There's no more fire in their eyes. And it's not about talent, because they've got talent. They lost their why. Why am I fighting? We're losing. They lose their why. And what happens at halftime? The coach goes in the room and says, "You got a chance to turn this around," right? The halftime speech. When the team members discover their why, things start to change. The energy shifts. The momentum builds. They start playing like champions again. When they know why. Men, some of you in this room have forgotten your why. You've forgotten that what you're fighting for. Women, some of you have forgotten and think that you're just spectators in this battle. No. You're cheerleaders for the men of God. You don't stand on the sidelines. You're out there cheering these men on. God wants to reignite a fire that's been dormant in all of our spirits. Our spirit, sorry. Fix that real quick. Let me get an amen for everybody who wants to know why.
Amen.
Because of legacy. We need to be fighting for what matters. And it's legacy. What are people going to say about Pastor Jeremy when I'm gone 10 years down the road? 5, 10, 15, 20. Leaving a legacy is what we have. Psalms 127, 3 through 5 says it perfectly. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. You get that? It's telling you that like your kids are like arrows in your quiver. I love this picture. Legacy isn't about what would I leave behind. It's about who I influence and launch forward. Like an arrow. In your sphere of influence, whether it's your children, your students, your coworkers, friends, anyone that God has placed in your life, they are arrows waiting to be launched. And arrows aren't meant to stay in that quiver. They're meant to fly further than you could ever fly. You want the next generation to go farther than you've went. You want your kids to have more than what you had growing up, right? I'm talking, right? That's our dream. That's our passion. That's what we want. In Killing Lions, Sam is saying, is asking his dad, how do I know if I'm ready for the next season of my life? You been there? How do I know I'm ready? And John gives him this incredible answer. He says, son, you're not supposed to feel ready. You're supposed to feel called. Readiness is about preparation, but calling is about faith. Man, what are you doing with your influence? Are you just surviving or are you leading? Your legacy isn't built on a big dramatic moment, like just one big aha moment. No, it's thousands of small little interactions, intentional choices that you make that leaves a legacy. This is long term. This is long. Man, what are you doing with this influence that God has given you? Are you passive and being quiet? Are you a lion? You know what leadership looks like, men? Everybody loves this one. Leadership looks like leading in prayer whenever, wherever God has placed you, even when it feels awkward. Let that one settle. Are you willing to pray where God has placed you on a moment's notice? Speak life into the people around you. Tell them who they are in Christ. That's what leadership looks like. If you're married, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Christ died for the church, for you. Love your wife like that. If you're single, live with integrity and purpose for this season of your life. If you're a father, invest deeply into your children. If you don't have children, invest in the next generation around you. There are ways to invest. The only one holding you back from investing is, guess what? You. Make decisions with eternity in mind, not tomorrow. Ladies, you want to know what living powerfully looks like? Pray for the courage of the men in your life when they're facing their battles. Cheerlead for your husbands when they're going through things. Whether you have daughters or mentor young women, teach them to recognize and celebrate godly character. Show them godly character through your life. Because if you don't, they're going to find it on TikTok, Facebook. What's the other ones? All I have is Facebook. And it's not good either. If you don't teach them now, they're going to find it in the world. Create environments where meekness can exist. Meekness. Meekness is a place where strength, we think that it sounds like weakness, like it's weakness. Jesus says, blessed are those who are meek. It's strength under control. Lionesses and lions, be strong and powerful, but be under control. Some of us don't know how to handle power and strength without destroying things around us. Jesus says, be that, but learn to control it. Humility. Strength under control. Use your influence in your home, your workplace, your community to point people to Jesus. Stop being passive, because we got a Lord that wants to save people's life and he wants to use you to do it. And if you don't do it, then guess what? You're being disobedient to God, and that's not good. Don't be shy. You're a lion. You're a lioness. Roar. My wife is shaking her head at me right now. Rolling her eyes. Every person here is influenced. You are influencing the next generation in some way. Whether you're a parent, aunt, uncle, teacher, mentor, friend, or simply someone who lives with integrity, you're shaping the future of our next generation. Single people, your lives matter too. Your investments matter. Everyone here has a sphere of influence to reach people and help them get into eternity. That's why legacy matters. Because you can set a legacy for the people behind you, for the kids who your kids will share, and your kids will share. And there was going to be one day, well, I hope that one of my great, 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 great grandkids says, you know what? I don't know him. I never met him. But Pastor Jeremy, he loved Jesus, and he loved his family, and he loved his kids. I'm okay with that. That's a legacy because that many generations can speak Jesus. Hopefully Jesus is back by then. But, you know... You know what? Turn to somebody right now and say, legacy matters.
Legacy matters.
I do that to make sure you're still awake. Legacy matters. So what's the generational impact in all this? Here's what John Eldridge is discovering in Killing Lions. Every generation faces different challenges, but every generation needs the same thing. They need to know that they have what it takes. You thought I was going to have some like big Jesus kind of quote, didn't you? No, you need to hear. You have what it takes to be the man that God is calling you to be. Here, today, and now. Sam was worried about his future, about whether he could measure up, about whether he was man enough for what was coming next. This is a cry of every man's heart. Do I have what it takes? Do you have what it takes? You know what his father told him when he thought that? He said, son, you don't have what it takes. Not on your own. But God has what it takes. He places a spirit in you. The question isn't whether you're strong enough. The question is whether you'll trust the one who is strong enough. Guess what? You don't have to have it all figured out. Because he does. Give yourself a break. Women. Your influence matters. The young people in here, your life needs to hear this. The women around you need to hear this. And you need to hear it too. Every one of us needs to hear. You don't have to have what it takes on your own. God has what it takes. The enemy wants every generation to start over and start from scratch. The building blocks. He wants us to forget what the previous generation has learned. You know what? I got my kids in here. They think they know more than me. I say that in a nice way. I've been around the block a couple of times, right? And I love them so much, and I let them think that. Our kids are great. They're amazing. They're doing really, really well. And I'm so proud of them because of the life that they've seen before Jesus. And they're doing great. The enemy wants every generation to start from scratch, to forget the previous generations, what the previous generation learned. But God wants us to build on what came before. Keep building on the legacy before you. Building. He wants those with experience to prepare those coming after. All of us to prepare for the next generation. All of us should be preparing for the next generation. I don't know, man, because I'm telling you, TikTok and Facebook, they're doing a really good job. They've got a lot of influence on our kids. the calling. Finish strong. We need to finish strong. 2 Timothy, I talked about him Mother's Day. I just talked to him a few minutes ago. Paul, his protege, steps into this. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul's writing this to Timothy. Paul's old. He's in Rome. He's about to be, you know, martyred for all the stuff that he's done, the good stuff that he's done. And they're ready to kill him. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Imagine you're running this relay race. You're about to hand off that baton to the next person in line. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's your student. Maybe it's someone that you mentor. Maybe it's simply someone watching your life from a distance. There's always people watching. That handoff only matters if you finish strong. If you finish strong, if you're not finishing strong, do you want to hand that baton off to somebody else? Finish strong. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, Pastor Roll, I don't understand. I don't have any kids. I never got married. I don't have a family to lead. My father wasn't there for me. I feel like I've missed my purpose. Let me tell you something to you. God does not measure everybody's impact by traditional family structure. Some of the most influential people in history were single. Jesus. Paul. Mother Teresa. Look at the people that they impacted and they weren't married. Some of the greatest mentors have never had biological children, but raised up spiritual sons and daughters. Like my best friend about a month and a half ago, Les was up here in the front row. Never been married, has no kids, and he's mentored me. I've watched him mentor kids out of juvenile detention. This man means a lot to me. And he's one of the greatest disciple makers I've ever seen. Raising up young men in the faith. Loving them right where they're at, but knowing that God has more for them. Regardless of your family status, you have purpose and you have meaning. You can leave a legacy. Here's a quote from Mother's Day. If your heart is still beating, your purpose isn't finished. If you still have breath in your lungs, God still has plans in your life. If you're still here, it means the best is yet to come. Amen. I feel something right now. I feel and I hope and I pray that the Spirit's been moving in your heart. There are people here who've been asleep to their purpose. You've been asleep, waiting for an awakening. There are men who have been passive. There are women who have forgotten their strength. There are single people who think their life doesn't matter that much. There are people without children who think they can't leave a legacy. But today, God wants to awaken something that has been dormant. Do you want God to awaken something dormant in your heart? What? Yes. God wants to awaken something that's been dormant in your hearts. Do you want to be awakened?
Yes.
You sound like you're scared. It can be. What will God have me do? Don't worry about that. Because it's not in your power that this happens. It's in the power of the Spirit of God that comes down and falls on you and does in you what you can't do. When you set aside your pride, set aside your feelings, set aside your fears and your shame and your guilt and all of these things, the Holy Spirit invades and fills you with living water that never stops. If you're ready to be the man or the woman that God has called you to be, stand to your feet. If you're ready to be the man or woman that God has called you to be, stand on your feet. That's it. That's it. Don't you dare sit back down either, because look around this room. There is revival that starts right here and right now. By your declaration of standing to your feet. This is what happened when people, God's people, decide to stop playing church and be the church. This is where revival comes from. Everybody repeat after me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Roar it like a lion, okay? I am called to make a difference. I will fight for what matters. I will influence others for the kingdom. I will leave a legacy of faith. I will finish strong. Let's sing this song like our legacy depends on it. Because we know a name that can call us out of the grave. Worship with me in this time.
I have a key with dominion over death. He holds the key. Victory on it. I call you Jesus.
Praise God. Put your hands down. If you didn't raise your hand, don't let this moment pass you by. Say this with me. Jesus, we invite you into our hearts and our lives. Forgive us our sins. Wash us clean. And make us new. We choose you today. Be our Lord and Savior. And help us to turn from our ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not done praying over you guys yet. To the men, give them, I pray that you give them boldness to lead wherever you have placed them. Give them the strength to fight their battles like a lion. Give them the wisdom to influence others. And to the women, give them courage to champion for righteousness. Give them the strength to be mighty warriors in your kingdom. Give them the wisdom to be godly women that you've called them to be. For those who are single in this room, remind them that their life has incredible purpose and meaning. Show them the unique ways you want to use their freedom for your glory. To those who might be without children today, open their eyes to see the ways that they can pour into the next generation. Help them to find their spiritual sons and daughters. For those who feel forgotten or overlooked, whisper into their hearts that you see them, that you know them, that you have plans for them. Father, heal what's broken. Ignite what's dormant. Let the generation rise up with holy strength, holy passion, and holy purpose. We declare that the enemy has no power here. In the name of Jesus, we declare that every person here will walk in their God-given purpose. We declare that the singles will thrive in their calling. We declare that those without children will be spiritual parents to many people. We declare that this is the generation that will change the world. This is the generation, Father, that needs the world to change in and through your church. Change the world from the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. If you gave your heart to Jesus today and this is your first time, do me a huge favor. I'm going to hang out right here. I want to talk to you. I'll have a couple of my prayer team up here with me too. If you said yes to Jesus for the first time, come right here. I want to see you. I want to talk to you. Your next step, if that's you, is baptism. Next week is our baptism class. I got 11. He's got 11. I'm sorry. Donna's back there looking at me. She's like, that's correct. He's got 11. God is doing something cool and amazing. If you're new with us, take that card out, fill it out, give it to Vanette. She'll be back by the table at the end of service. Man, we got Dad's root beers for everybody. There's some at the door here. There's some back here in the back. Get some cake and some root beer. Get your pictures taken with your dads. Post that stuff on Facebook. Do whatever you got to do. I was just talking all bad about Facebook, wasn't I? I don't know TikTok or Instagram. I don't know any of that stuff. But church, turn to somebody and give them a high five. Come on. Turn to somebody and give them a high five. The lions have awakened. The fire has been ignited. And your legacy starts today. Happy and blessed Father's Day. We love you. We'll see you next week.